Praise the Lord, saints. How many know that the Lord has prepared a mansion for those that's going to live with him forever? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, I have my mansion there for what he said. Oh, I believe he'll do just what he said. I believe the word he said. By faith, come on. Stain for sign my name. I believe. Oh, he took the guilty stain. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Come on, let's play it one time for him. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll have my mansion there. Oh, come on, put your hands together. He'll do what he said. Can I get a witness in the house? He'll do what he said. Hallelujah. Oh, he'll do.
He'll do just what he said.
He'll do.
He'll do just what he said.
Yes, he'll do.
He'll do just what he said.
He'll do.
He'll do.
Everything that he said, you can believe it. Yes, he will.
He'll do
it. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, he'll do it.
He'll do it.
He'll do it. Yes, he'll do it. He'll do it. Yes, he'll do it. He'll do it. Yes, he will. I'll have my mansion there.
I believe
the word. faithful. Glory to God. Come on. Oh, he'll do.
He'll do just what he said.
Yes, he'll do.
He'll do just what he said.
He'll do.
He'll do just what he said.
Yes, he will. When it don't seem like it. When it seems like all of hell is against you. He'll do. Yes, he'll do. Somebody grab that tonight. Yes, he will.
He'll do.
Yes, he will. Oh, he'll do. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He'll do. Oh, he'll do it.
He'll do it.
He'll do it. Yes, he will. He'll do it. Yes, he'll do it. He'll do it. Yes, he'll do it. I'll have my mansion there. Oh,
oh,
I believe. I'll have my mansion there. Oh, 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 I believe just what he said. Oh, yes. We got time tonight, saints. Said, glory to God. Come on and praise him. Come on and lift him up. Come on and magnify him. Come on, let there be a voice in the house that says, I know. To tell me, 'cause I've seen it for myself. I know. You don't have to tell me, because he's already healed my body. I know. Come on, is there a witness in the house tonight? Yes. Come on, if God's been good to you and he's done a miracle in your life, you just shout about it a little bit right now. Hey. Mighty, mighty, mighty God, worthy God, yes. We want to praise the Lord for those that received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name this morning. Praise God, praise God. Glory, 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 glory to God. Don't you love the presence of God? Don't you love his goodness tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. We're going to read tonight from Ephesians chapter 2. Just shake somebody by you and just let Holy Ghost come out all over them. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Some of you way too stiff, way too tight. Come on, we're in the presence of the King of Kings, and he says it's all right. People may not like it, but God likes it when you lose yourself in praise, worship, magnifying him. Ah, glory, glory, glory. It's pretty funny to say you're too stiff here tonight. If you think that, you hadn't been around much. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2, and marvel of marvels, we are moving into chapter 2. There's still a lot left in chapter 1. Sister Tasha was fasting before her surgery the other morning, and her family torments her with discussions of fried chicken and things. I told her, I said, you can gnaw on those bones. It won't break anybody's rules. And it's a lot of fun. And it tastes pretty good. It's actually pretty satisfying. Praise God. But with the word of God, you always leave a lot on the bone. You never get to the end of it all. And when we come back again, no matter how you visualize it or whatever metaphor you use to talk about the word of God, when you come back again, it's full all over again. It's rich all over again. Never gets old, never gets empty, never gets stale. New every morning. Is there a witness in the house? Hallelujah. My God, when the biblical character says the half had not been told. She was a pagan queen come to see the things of Solomon. But I'll tell you, they hyped this when they were talking about it to me. They sang about it. They shouted about it. They preached about it. But the further I go and the more I see, I've got to tell you, the half has not been told about what God has done and is doing and what he's going to do. Praise God. Do you know the very best is yet to come? Do you believe that about your life? Somebody ought to just lose your mind over that right now. The preacher told us just a few months ago, after all you've lost, there's still more than what you've lost. I believe that. I really believe that. Chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm just telling you, this place tonight, it's just metal and mortar and brick and screws and materials of common origin. But we have stood and walked and sat in heavenly places tonight. There have been angels all over this house tonight. And the Spirit of God has been like a river in this place tonight. And the gifts of God have been flowing in the house. And people have grown in the Spirit and in the Word of God just by osmosis. Just by being in His presence. You can't be in this for any length of time and leave the way you came. Well, praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm not going to get you to maybe identify yourself or whatever, but some of us have been in bar rooms and we've been to juke joints and we've tried recreational drugs. But I'm just telling you, right now, I'm feeling something better than anything I ever tasted
or smoked or tried or experienced. Is there a witness in the house? What God has is better. Oh, what God has is better. What God has is better. And even though we didn't leave the ground and didn't really leave this physical place, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so we're transported into the Holy of Holies just by our worship and praise and magnifying God. When we leave, there's an afterglow that lasts for a while. And I love what's moving in the house of God after the people of God had gone. If you've ever locked up the house or sat around for a while, it's just one of the most refreshing, wonderful presences. But after that, it's just a building, just an empty, might as well be a warehouse stocked up with all kinds of nonsense. But right now, it's a holy place because God is where the covenant people are. He's not 5 miles down the road. He's right here because you're here and because he's got a covenant with you. Tonight he's made us to sit in heavenly places. 7, that in the ages to come, he's preparing us for something that's coming. He might show the exceeding riches, not just the riches, but the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Praise God. If you love what he's doing in your life and you love the word of God, as you're seated tonight, give him praise and thanks and magnify his name. Ah, we bless your name. We worship you, oh God. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Is you guys from Franklin, is it Lartigue? Lartigue. Okay, don't let me say that wrong now. Don't let me butcher that. Okay, well, we're so glad to have you guys in the house tonight. You'd be surprised how much Louisiana is in the house tonight. Okay. And all of our guests, we're so glad to see you in the house. Hey, there was a great outreach yesterday morning. A lot of midgets went out into the city. And it was a great midget evangelism, midget revival. And their parents had to be, no, it was actually children who are short but not midgets. And they... although there is midget wrestling up between Gunnersville and Boaz, we see it when we go to Gunnersville. But there was an outreach yesterday morning, and it was phenomenal. And the bus was packed, and they went out, and there were like almost 30 people here this morning that were a result of that outreach. And people were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. And stay tuned. That's going to be happening maybe every quarter. We're going to see. But it's a wonderful way to expose our children. Wonderful way to touch the city for the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Once more, clap your hands. Lift your voice. Just magnify him. Hallelujah. I love what I feel in the Lord's house tonight. Praise God. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This is right after he told you, you got to hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your closest friends, if you want to be his disciple. And you really need to think about what that means. It's just when it comes to choices, you have to say no to everybody and yes to God. But here he says, if you don't take up your cross and come after me, you can't be my disciple. He's saying this in the day of Roman oppression of Palestine. And a cross is like an electric chair. A cross is a public execution. It's not a piece of ornamentation. It's not a piece on a steeple somewhere. It's not the figure of anything. It's a bloody, horrible, terrible place to die. And they do it publicly so you get the message, you don't mess with Rome. And so he's telling this group of people in this cultural setting, take up your cross and come follow after me. And they have no understanding what it means, other than he's calling them to martyrdom. In verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has cannot be my disciple. So he's asking for a complete commitment. He's telling them, this only works if you're willing to give everything. This, you only get what God has promised if you come with all that you have. You can't do this part-time. You can't do this halfway. Although non-biblical Christianity has sold it cheap all over this city and every other city. And they've told you that you can just have a piece of God, but all of God's blessings. And if you'll just say it and you'll just think it, it'll all be yours. But I want you to understand, he said, no, no, I didn't come for some of you. I came for all of you. I didn't give some of me. He gave all of himself. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And hereby perceive we the love of God. He laid down his life for us. And so we understand he was totally committed. Gave everything, and all he's asked from you is everything in return. An altar today is a place where we come and pray, where we come and weep, but we call it an altar because it vibrates back, it resonates back into the typology of the Word of God. And it was a place where something died, and that something died in the place of something else. And we all had that death sentence on us. And all of the typology of death was pointing toward the silhouette of a man hanging on a cross. And he was torn between the vertical world and the horizontal world. And all of the pressure of that conflict came down in that one point, for the whole universe had to be redeemed. And he paid the ultimate price. He did not welch. He did not shirk. He did not come with some of it. He bought it all. He came with it all. He found a treasure in the field. He's the man in the parable. He found a treasure in the field, and he went and sold all that he had so that he could buy the treasure. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're the treasure that he bought. Ah, he gave everything. And now he's saying, now I'm ready to give everything. You come. Is there anybody in the house that's already made up your mind? It doesn't matter what he says or what the circumstance. I've already determined I'm going to give everything I am, everything I have to God. But you can't do it any other way. You can't have this any other way. Anything else is just Americanized, if you would pardon the term, bastardized Christianity. It's trying to sell you something on the cheap that you cannot have. If some shark came out in the parking lot tonight, hey, buddy, I got a Mercedes right here, $25. It's all yours. You can't buy a hubcap. You can't buy a lug nut. $25. Do you think you're going to buy heaven as cheap as they're selling it on the street in this city? Do you think you can wallow with the devil all week and just come and lift up a hand and say, but I believe with all my heart, and you think you're going to cash in on what God has promised? Got to think again. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. And so he's asking for ultimate commitment because he has been willing to do that, but it takes that. Now, it is possible. I've been around folks that want to talk about the cost of living for God and the pain of living for God and how hard it is to live for God. What a burden to live for God. Oh, I know that you suffer. And I know that, well, we have not been in a Chinese prisoner of war camp where they put Christians. We haven't yet suffered to the letting of blood. This American experience has been very insulated and very protected, and we ought to be the most dynamic, the most effective generation that God ever raised up. But I really think in my heart, we're a little bit soft. But we really don't want to talk about how hard it is to live for God and how difficult it is to live for God, because he endured the cross, despising the shame, for the glory that was set before him. Somebody say praise the Lord. He didn't complain. He was buying his church. He didn't complain. He was redeeming his people. Praise God. God put a knife to my throat if I ever have the urge to complain about the way that you've led me. If I ever have a moment in prayer where I want to make prayer a pity party. If I ever have a day in my life where I don't wake up with David and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm not going to help you in your depression tonight. I'm not going to help you in your sorry feelings tonight. I'm not going to help you if you're dragging your chin and you're thinking that this is the hardest thing anybody's ever done. I want you to know this is the greatest thing that anybody's ever been a part of in all the history of the earth. If you don't believe that, you don't know him. If you don't believe that, you haven't seen him. Somebody say amen. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Is God good? Are the ways of God good? Do you believe that God's word is true? Well, praise God. We know what saying yes to God costs. Those of us that have been around a while, we know. We understand. But what you have to understand is, we believe it's worth the investment. We believe it's worth the investment. I'm ready to show up. I'm going to be at the house of God every time the doors are open. I'm ready to make an investment in the kingdom of God. Every time the plates pass, I'm going to open my wallet. I'm ready to make an investment in the kingdom of God. Every time there's a young one that needs a hand up to come to be secured in the kingdom of God, I'm ready to make an investment in the kingdom of God. Every time that somebody needs to pray, God needs a prayer warrior. I want to be a prayer warrior because I want to make an investment in the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Because I believe it's worth what we invest in the kingdom. If you don't believe it, you're not going to make it. If you don't understand this, you're not going to live for God. Because there'll be a day when life will charge you too much. There'll be a day when the devil is running the toll booth and he asks too much of you. But God help you that you can be like our elder Job, who from beneath the rubble lifts his hand and says, I still believe God. I still love God. I still trust God. And they just rang up the bill and he paid with everything that he owed. Praise God. Praise God. We know what the investment is in and we know what it's worth. If you're familiar with the story of Jacob, and the story of Jacob wrestling with the theophany, the angel of the Lord, you understand that that story is about Jacob coming into self-awareness, about him finding himself, because all through the story, he doesn't know who he is or what the covenant means. And he's got a lot of misguided ideas about God and about what the covenant is about. But in that wrestling match, I can see, In the gallery of my mind, I can see, in that day he seemed to me to be an old man. And I think I may be older now than he was when I heard him preach that. So what does that make me? And his, in my mind's eyes, got shock of white hair. And he's wearing a gray suit. And he's preaching on the platform at my home church in Baton Rouge. And he's preaching about that wrestling match between Jacob and God. And God is saying, let me go. And Jacob is saying, I won't let you go unless you bless me. Tonight, we're not going to get into unraveling the theology of that meeting. But I will tell you this, that when Jacob came out of that meeting, he was dragging a leg behind him. But Brother R.E. Johnson said he had a limp, but he had a name. He came out of a meeting with God, and it cost him something, but he had a name. A name that meant power with God and power with people, a prince among people. He had a limp. It cost him something, but he had a name. I want you to know anything God charges me in this walk, anything that I have to pay walking through life to be a part of God's kingdom, it might be noticeable. It might be something that debilitates my flesh a little bit, but I've got something in return that's greater than anything that has happened to my body or my worldly possessions. My God, is there anybody here tonight that can say, whatever it's cost me, it's been worth it all. It's been worth every mile. It's been worth every prayer. It's been worth every tear. Ah, and we still believe God is good, and we still believe God is able, and we still believe the best is yet to come. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. I really am in Ephesians 2. You don't believe it? Praise God. In the chapter of Hebrews, the hall of fame of God's faithful, chapter 11, Moses, the writer tells us, chose the reproach of Christ above the riches of Pharaoh's court in Egypt. Praise God. What a transaction. What a choice. He's presented, and he knows what Pharaoh's court is about because he's lived there for 40 years. But when he stood at the juncture of choosing God, or choosing perhaps to be Pharaoh himself, because he was a young man, a son of Pharaoh's daughter, and it's not outside the realm of the possible that Moses could have been the Pharaoh. And he's standing there, but Jochebed has successfully put something in him in the first 6 or 7 years of his life. I thank God for every Sunday school teacher in this house. I thank God for every one of you that lays your hands on these babies over there. And I thank God for all the hours you spend cutting out little creatures and painting and coloring and straightening up and making snacks for them and wiping runny noses and tying shoelaces and taking care of bathroom accidents. I thank God for every one of you, because you've got the power to put something in them that when it comes to choosing, they're going to make the right choice and they're going to choose to serve God. Let's give God thanks for all the Sunday school teachers. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He chose a reproach of Christ. He had something in him. And he rose up and he flees to the wilderness after having slain the Egyptian. He chooses to embrace the things of God rather than the riches of Egypt. We've talked here in this church culture a lot about the actions of Joseph of Arimathea, how he goes in. He's a wealthy man. He's a prosperous man. He's a businessman. The Gospels give you quite a detailed description of who Joseph is. And he goes in before Pilate, and he's going to conduct some business on this day that is going to put his life perhaps in jeopardy, his fortune in jeopardy, his reputation in jeopardy. But he goes before Pilate and he says, give me that body. I want his body. And he goes with permission from Pilate, and he takes that bloody, putrid, messy body down off that cross, and all of the blood and the gore gets all over him. And it costs you something to get close to Jesus. It costs you something to get close to Jesus. And if you want to extrapolate out of that, not just Jesus personally, but his body, which is the church, let me tell you, it costs you something to be a part of the body of Christ, to walk with God's people, to help God's people, to love God's people. About five of you think so, but I'm going to tell you tonight, it'll get messy. It'll get on you. It'll get stinky. It'll be a problem for the natural man. But you know what? I love being a part of God's people, and I'm glad to be a part of God's people, and I think it's worth it. I believe it's worth it to be a part of the people of God. If you love his church, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. We're just taking a tour of people who paid a price. They believed it was worth it. And I amen them. And I say yes to them. I believe that it's worth it. Paul said to a host, to an audience of Jews, he said, "You're right. They think they can dog him down with the charge of heresy, that he'll back up, that he doesn't want to be thought of in a negative way." And social pressure is very powerful. And a lot of people crumble. Jesus taught a parable about it. He said some of that seed is landing in rocky soil and it springs up. The word is anon in the King James. It means immediately. It springs up. But then it withers because it has no root. He said, that's just like people that get the kingdom of God and then they get out on the job or they go back home with it or they get among their peers and then they get so much pressure that they wither because they don't have root in the word of God. They are offended by and by because of the word. They don't want to make the investment. They don't want to make the investment. They care more about what their family thinks. They care more about what a boy thinks or about what a girl thinks or about what somebody. Oh, it's been 26 years, folks. I've seen a lot of folks come in and out of those doors. I've seen, and right now while I'm talking, I'm seeing folks come in and out of a storefront and in and out of that little building. Brother Jerry leased us for a while down the road there and in and out of that old red building over there and in and out of these glass doors. We had visits from some of them this very morning. They were in the house. And I've seen a lot of people come and go. Somewhere along the line, the kingdom of God wasn't valuable enough to them to measure up to the investment that their life, their world, their friends, their families were asking of them. And they just kind of collapsed under the pressure and slunk away and walked away from what God has planned for them. My God, what a travesty. Going to hell is unimaginable. But going to hell, having had the chance and having heard the word, and as you are plummeting into eternity without God, knowing I had it, I could have, and you're going to see all the things you traded for the kingdom of God, you're going to see them raining down into hell with you, meaning nothing, turning into dust. And the only thing that's left is the kingdom that you thought wasn't a good investment. My God. My God. Paul said, "You charge me with heresy after the way that is called heresy. So worship I the God of my fathers. You can call it heresy if you want. He said, I'll measure up to it. If this is heresy, I'll be a heretic. If this is blasphemy, you're wrong about that. But I'll take the charge. I don't care what you think about me publicly. You know what? I don't fit into the ecumenical councils. I'll never fit into a table, a round table of ministers in the area where we sit and talk about the fluff of what's going on in Christian circles. I don't fit. I can't fit. I can't talk about it with them like that. I want to pound the table and I want to tell them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name. You say, you can't build Bridgeport. You won't win them to God. Morphing into what they are will not win them to God. Losing your apostolic edge and becoming like them will not impact them for the kingdom of God. That is not the profile you need to have in your mind. The profile you need to have in your mind is John the Baptist. Ah! Break forth out of the wilderness. Come forth in the word of God. Walk out on that job. Go back to your house. Sit down with your friends and tell them just how it is. Somebody say praise the Lord. Shake them. Stir them. But don't leave them untouched, thinking that, oh, we're all the same. Kumbaya, dear Lord. Kumbaya. We're not the same. We're God's people. We're not the same. We're not Catholics. We're not the same. We're not Protestants. We're apostolics. We're out of the prototypical church in the Word of God. We do what they do. We teach what they taught. We believe what they believed. Somebody say amen. We've got a straight line tether right back to them. I want to tell you, and whatever pressure you come under, it's going to be worth it all. Whatever price you pay to take that position, it's going to be worth it all. Somebody say praise God. Praise God. So having said that, Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, and we may not be as long as we were in the last four verses of Ephesians 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you hath he made alive. My God, just think about that just for a minute. You were dead. You were lost. You were empty. You had no hope. You were cut off. But you hath he made alive. There's deadness on every street. There's deadness in every neighborhood. There's deadness in the churches of this city. But you has he made alive. You're not nearly as excited about that as you ought to be right now. Do you remember where you were? Do you remember how it was? Now, I want all the homegrowns to stay seated. I want the first generation crowd to stand up. My God, do you have a testimony? Is there somebody in this house that can say, I once was lost in sin? Hey, Jesus took me in. My God, I've got a testimony tonight. I want you to know I was walking in darkness, but Jesus came to see about me. Help me, Lindsay. My God, I've got to tell it to somebody. I've got to talk about it. Stephen touched it tonight, but David said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me up out of a deep pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock, and he established my going. Is there a witness in the house? Is there a testimony in the house tonight? Has he put a new song in somebody's heart? My God, everybody that walked away from a friend, I want to know, was it worth it? Everybody that walked away from somebody you loved, was it worth it? Somebody walked away from a job, but was it worth it? Somebody walked away from a dream, but was it worth it? Somebody left something on the altar that you had been looking at for a lifetime. I want to know, was it worth it? Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been worth it all. I'm looking back on nearly 40 years of living for God, and it's been worth it all. I'm looking back over a lot of people who have come and gone, and I've paid a little bit of a price to live for God. But I can tell you tonight, I don't regret one moment. I don't regret one prayer. I don't regret one investment, not in this kingdom of God. And you has he quickened. You were dead. Somebody say, I was dead. Touch somebody by and say, I was dead in sins and trespasses, but now I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive by the power of the name of Jesus. I'm alive. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. My God. Does anybody remember how it was when you first heard the word and a flicker of hope began to go off in your heart? And you, has he made alive? You were dead in sins and trespasses. We sat around in this house on a Wednesday night in our small group. Not too many weeks ago, and I had them tell about their testimony, tell about how it was. What's your journey story? How did you come into the kingdom of God? And I want you to know, everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story. But I want to know tonight, has it been worth it? Has it been worth it? No, I gotta ask. I've seen a lot of people go back. I've seen a lot of people collect their stuff off the altar and go back out into a world full of sin. I want to know from some young man, has it been worth it? I want to know from some young man who worships with all of his heart, has it been worth it? I don't know what you laid down, but has it? I want to know from some young lady, has it been worth it? I know you pay a price to live for God, but I got to hear from you tonight. Has it been worth it to live for God? I want to hear from a daddy tonight. I want to hear from a grown-up man tonight. Has it been worth it? I want to hear from mama tonight. My God, our ladies make a commitment. Our ladies make a commitment. They are right out front. Men, he said, I want all you men to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And he's working on the strength of man, on his prowess and on his power and on his strength. But for the ladies, he said, it's going to be your beauty I'm going to fool with. We're going to put your beauty on the altar. And when we do it, we're going to challenge the world's concept of beauty. I think our ladies are the most beautiful ladies in the whole world. That's what I think. When I'm going to Walmart, the scariest part of Walmart is the checkout line. And it's not because of the register and the price total. It's because of the wall of horror you got to go through. There's naked people with paint all over their faces. On both sides of the aisle, it's like running a hell's gauntlet or something. God, don't let them get me. I just needed some milk for my babies. They're here. But when you walk in that school, or when you walk down the street, or when you walk among them, you walk free from all the clutter that they think is essential. I salute our godly ladies. I salute you for your commitment. I salute you for your investment. But I've got a question for you, lady. Has it been worth it? My God, has it been worth what you've done to say yes to God? My God, somebody that loves him, just shout a little bit right now. Thank you. Come on, give somebody a high five and tell them what I've given is less than what I've gotten. Tell them what he gave me is worth everything I paid. In light of what he's done, we don't talk about sacrifices. In light of what he's done, we don't talk about the power of our works or our investment or anything else that we do. Because he's made it all possible and he's done all the work. Somebody say praise the Lord. Verse 2, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world. Anybody here used to walk just like the world walked? Went where they went, did what they did, loved what they loved? Don't stop. See, you disrupt their momentum. Yeah, we're building. See, this builds, and the word builds, and the music builds. Just hold on to this. And you're so timid, Travis. Somebody say, I used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Come on, tell somebody by you. I was a child of disobedience. But not now. But not now. But not now. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Sing, sing, glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Somebody say, I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad. Are you, is anybody really glad about what God? Yeah, I'm so glad, I'm so glad. I wonder what it was like around the wall of Jericho. Praise God. I'm going to stop. You got to go home. Clock's going to go off in the morning. It's been worth it. If you're an elder in this house, a man that's lived for God, I want you to come. You get one of these young men by the hand and you tell them you don't think about it twice. It's going to be worth it all. Come on. I'm going to tell them. If you're a lady in this house, you've loved God and you've lived for God, I want you to come grab up one of these young ladies and you tell them, don't think twice about it, baby. It's going to be worth it all. God is going to make it worth your while. Hey, I'm so glad.